This just in from Gen Con is sponsored by DriveThruRPG. Don't miss the Can't Make It to Gen Con event going on right now at DriveThruRPG.com.
Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, this just in from Gen Con with your hosts, Paul Tevis and Ryan Macklin.
Well, welcome back to This Just In from Gen Con, and if you can't tell from the sound of my voice, it's Sunday morning, and I have Sunday morning voice. My name is Paul Tevis, and I'm along here with my co-host, Ryan Macklin.
Howdy again, and yes, indeed, it is Sunday morning by the sound of our voices.
Although you're sounding a little bit better than yesterday, I think.
I decided to not get stupidly drunk at a party yesterday, and I think that helped.
That may help with podcasting. And of course we're joined by one of our favorite people, industry luminary Robin Laws. Robin, welcome to the show.
Hey, I have to say the two of you are slackers to only have Sunday morning voice on Sunday morning. I think I had Sunday morning voice by Thursday evening, but I do have Sunday morning brain, so I plan this to babble incoherently throughout the interview.
That is pretty much how this show works. We get 15 minutes of incoherent babbling out of the way, and then people say, oh, it's just like being at Gen Con.
Right. Yes, there you go.
This show is all about Sunday morning brain.
Fantastic. So why are you here at the show, Robin? You've got some stuff here, right?
I'm with the Pellgrain booth, doing booth weaseling for them. They're have the Dying Earth line, which is kind of trailing off into the licensing sunset. Of course, I did a lot of work on that. But what's really popping at the booth is various Gumshoe games. Gumshoe is a rules engine I designed that does investigative mystery in a new and different and exciting way. And Trail of Cthulhu, which is the third Gumshoe game. That's Kenneth Haidt's brilliant adaptation of the classic granddaddy of all investigative games to the Gumshoe system, has been going great guns, both in its standard edition and in its super duper limited bound in the hide of Amigo rare, put it on eBay immediately edition. And I have to add that, you know, since Mego are in part arthropods, they don't mind if you take the hide, so they won't come after you.
That's good to know. Last thing we need is Amigo coming after us.
Exactly.
Then why is it limited edition if they don't mind?
It's difficult to, they don't mind, but they charge a lot.
Oh, of course, understandable.
Those non-Euclidean starships of theirs are expensive to maintain.
Supply and demand.
It's a gas prices thing.
Oh, yeah.
They too have been feeling crunched in these hard economic times.
Yes. Well, you know, horror is a matter of assimilating, you know, previously unknown facts. And as soon as the Mego looked at the gas tank, they were like on the line to Pellgrain saying, you know, Blort over here, he's looking ripe.
Fantastic. Well, Trail of Cthulhu picked up a couple of Ennie Awards the other night, didn't it?
Scored a couple of silver Ennies, much to my startlement. I was pleasantly startled. We decided to sit in the back row and be the smart-ass kids and heckle, and then all of a sudden our names were called, and we saw the vast length of the aisle that we had to romp up. But that was, in all seriousness, extremely gratifying. Gumshoe has been out for a little while, and part of the Gumshoe idea induces a bit of cognitive dissonance at first, and that's sort of the reaction that we initially saw, but now we can see that the core idea has filtered through. It has penetrated the universal gamer consciousness, and people are getting the shot, and so to see it recognized and to see Ken's brilliant writing job on that game recognized was a real hoot, and I'm very grateful to the vast core of Ennie's voters for giving a much coveted silver to a small company like Pellgrain.
Fantastic. Ken was wearing his medal the whole rest of the night, so I knew he was thrilled by it as well.
Well, and that was the difference between Canadians and Americans. I was not wearing my medal, but I was proud to have it nonetheless.
Fantastic. Anything else new over in the Pellgrain booth? Because you guys have Mutant City Blues.
Mutant City Blues is, yes, that's the brand new Gumshoe game. That's my my baby. It's a full-length size role-playing game, and it's dropped on Thursday in a special Gen Con preview edition. This is a black and white version of what will, in soft cover, in what will eventually be published in hardcover in a snazzy two-color format, sort of a steel blue police color rule book. And the shot with Mutant City Blues is that it's a police procedural set in a world 10 years after 1% of the population spontaneously develop superpowers. And so we've been getting a great reaction to that. And that has the best chart in gaming, I don't mind my saying. Well, I think I was saying in my humble Canadian way, best chart in any game this year. But I think we've now enlarged that to the best chart since the original Wandering Prostitute table in DMG1.
Well, you are in America right now. You are allowed to grandstand in that fashion.
There are role-playing exercises that we all have to perform, and mine is to attempt to be a bit more of an egomaniac. I think I may also invade Iran before the week is out.
Fantastic.
So other than the stuff that you've been hawking, wares you've been selling out to folks, have you had a chance to see anything neat at the con?
Oddly enough, this year I've not had the chance to do the usual trawling about the hall in order that people may place my due tribute in my hands. I think that time has been taken up doing podcasts, oddly enough.
Now you're making us feel guilty.
Yes. Well, that's me still playing my Canadian card. You know, if you don't end this interview feeling guilty, I've not done my job as a proud son of the Northlands. So I've seen a few really cool things. So Gregor Hutton's 316... which is basically it's a take on the Starship Troopers riff. But, you know, you're not those nice Heinlein Starship Troopers. You're the Verhoeven you're out Verhoevening Verhoeven. The thing that I really like about that is that he's really got the presentation down in terms of selling you on why you want to play a game set in this world. One of my pointers that I always try to give to the indie guys is to be more aggressive about packaging the fun that you're going to have playing the game as part of the graphic and textual presentation. I think that does a great job of that. But when you really want to talk integrating production values into something that really makes you go, wow, Kevin Allen Jr.'s Sweet Amanda.
Sweet Agatha.
Sweet Agatha. See, this is why it's important to have actual journalists on the panel.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Ryan's the actual journalist.
People who have four brain cells to rub together rather than three.
Fair enough.
Anyway, it's a brilliant take on the hipster take on the solo adventure puzzle book. Got this gorgeous color presentation with photographs and looks like nothing you've seen before, and you know, exists as an object to be destroyed, which I'm sure Man Ray would be delighted to see that particular game. There's another very cool sounding game which unfortunately has a Japanese name, which means that I've forgotten what it is. I'm now reaching the drawing a blank phase, but I've been putting the shout-outs on my blog, so look at the blog for more articulate shout-outs to the things that have been put in my hand.
That's robindlaws@livejournal.com.
That's right, robin_d_laws. Oh, I remember the things. Things We Think About Gaming, Tidball and Hindmarch. I wrote the foreword for that, so... I guess I'm biased in that I've pre-praised it, but now that it's out, I will post-praise it. Also, Tour de Lovecraft, the Atomic Overlords beautifully presented anthology of Ken's trenchant analyses of the various Lovecraft stories, which originally appeared as a series of banked content in his journal, and is now you can take it to the bank with this beautiful book, blurbed by Tim Powers, so I don't know if he needs, you know, my praise on top of that, but I would definitely say grab a copy of that and put that on your shelf. Of course, next to Trail of Cthulhu from Pellegrini Press.
Absolutely. I think it makes a wonderful stocking stuffer. Fantastic. Well, Ryan, have you had a chance to get out and do stuff? Obviously, you've been doing stuff since we last recorded. What have you been doing?
Well, so we had the podcaster meet and greet last night.
Absolutely.
Which was fantastically crowded in a very small, cacophonous room.
It's like when you get a lot of people who like to talk together, the room turns loud for some reason.
Apparently, it's the magic of physics. Who knew?
Yeah.
But that was really great, getting to meet folks, find out that apparently podcasters, much like you and I, apparently we have faces as well. So getting to discover this fact, this new discovery, has been enriching.
The comment I got several times at the podcast meet and greet last night was, I thought you were taller. I thought you'd be taller. Okay, I guess I sound tall. I'm not, for those of you listening at home who've never met me.
Actually, before I met you, I thought you were a small amphibian.
No. Do I sound like a small amphibian?
A little salamander-y.
Okay, good to know.
He's got a point.
Who am I to argue?
but speaking of things we think about games, one of the things, I was hanging out at the embassy last night, just drinking and talking with folk, and kind of having a bit of a down night as I wasn't able to get a game together that I was looking to do. And Rob Donahue comes by and thrusts Things We Think About Games in my hands. It says, sign it, and I'm confused. I'm like, I'm looking to see if perhaps my name was misprinted on the book.
And the same thing to me, and I like, did the same thing to
and
him.
I'm like,
misprinted, given that your name would be on the book.
Yeah.
A misprint.
Yes, as in that would be the misprint, is that my name was on the book. And apparently, but what he's doing is using that as a Gen Con yearbook. He's having people write some comment somewhere on something and just using that as like
Right, because the format of the book is basically each sort of page has a sort of brief thought about gaming.
Right.
A paragraph, a couple of paragraphs, whatever have you. But there's a reasonable amount of white space. And so what he's having people do is find something in the book and then comment on or react to it, write some marginalia there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that's really, really cool. I told this to Jeff Tidball and he said, I win.
Yeah. I signed something in one of the essays about naming your character.
Excellent.
You think you know what I said?
I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah. So, but I would let that be a mystery to the podcast.
That's because this is a family-safe podcast.
That's why it'll be a mystery. So, I got to just, you know, spend some good quality time with folk. Talking and, you know, the business and just hanging out rather than, you know, constantly like, you know, roll initiative, now roll this, now roll that. Oh, can you also roll play?
Yes.
But it was nice just to get to talk with folk. What about you, Paul?
Well, I also had the opportunity to hang out with some folks yesterday. One of the things that I and of course, it's Sunday at Gen Con, so I totally have Sunday Gen Con brain. And I don't remember if I've said this on the show yet or not, or if I've merely told the people face-to-face. I had lunch with Judd Carlman the other day, and he's a good friend of mine, and I said, you know, the problem with being the sort of social butterfly that I am at Gen Con is that there are now so many awesome people who I want to spend time with, and Gen Con just isn't long enough to spend as much time as I want with all of them. And so taking the opportunity like to do something like that, take some time out and really, you know, make sure that you get some time with people who you've met at Gen Con's past,
right,
is really important. So I did some of that last night. I also, this morning, got a chance to make a quick run through the hall, make a couple of purchases. I did a demo of It's Complicated, which we've talked about on some previous episodes, and picked up a copy of that. I really enjoyed that. I also, because I'd been lax in doing it in previous years, picked up a copy of Vincent Vega's Poisoned, mm-hmm. which is his pamphlet pirate game, and also a copy of Emily Carabosse's Under My Skin.
Oh, fantastic.
The third book in her series of games about relationships. This afternoon, I was trying to get a demo of a game from Devere Publishing. They're a Spanish board game publisher, and they have a board game called España 1934, which is about the Spanish Civil War. And I'm going to try and get a demo of that this afternoon. The hall closes at 4 o'clock today,
right.
As opposed to 6, and so I really have to get out there. But to jump real briefly back to the nightlife comment, I ran into Simon Rogers from Pelgrane last night on the sidewalk, and in conversation, one of us said, you know, it's like there are two halves to any Gen Con day, and that the second half starts at 6 o'clock. It doesn't matter when the first half started. It might have been 9 a.m., it might have been 7 a.m., it might have been noon. At 6 o'clock, suddenly a completely different thing starts to happen at Gen Con.
I really feel that I need the days to have four halves, because as someone who does this for a living, and as someone who has friends spread out throughout the world as a result of being colleagues with them, and as someone who needs to keep track of what's going on in the industry, and someone who needs to promote myself and sell my games, that's too many functions for the number of hours.
Yeah.
And so there's always you're always sort of making triage decisions. It's like, do I spend several hours with this person who I really want to spend a lot of time with and have a quality interaction, or do I go to the loud place and do the high Hawaiias and do the networking, and I generally opt for the first, but it's just such an incredible sensory overload of input, where you're basically, you know, living a month or a couple of months worth of intense interaction and information gathering and feedback in the space of such a short time that it's, no wonder you have a convention brain by this point.
Exactly. Right. It's clearly where that comes from. Well,
And I was just going to say, in an odd lifestyle choice, I made the mistake of not drinking last night, and that totally screwed me up because the alcohol was not there to compensate the caffeine. So don't do that at home, kids. Make sure you balance your intake of dangerous chemicals throughout the course of Gen Con.
Well, I'm sure that as a professional writer, finding that balance is really right in your wheelhouse.
You scored another point.
Yeah, fair enough.
You bastard.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. We've got one more show to go.
That's right.
Sunday night is fast approaching, and we have to find those last minute purchases, those last minute conversations before Gen Con wraps up. So Ryan and I will be back at 5 o'clock tonight for the final live episode of
This Just In from Gen Con.
You've been listening to This Just In from Gen Con. Copyright 2008, Paul Tevis and Ryan Macklin, and sponsored by DriveThruRPG.com.
Fit all the gaming podcasts you possibly can inside your head with RPGPodcasts.com.